Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condor with a K, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Arrington.
How the devil are you?
Good. How the devil are you? Good. That's it. One word.
Good. That's what we need.
Good. You're looking very ominous, with a lot of light in your face. Darkness.
Am I?
Yeah. You look ominous. Like
hang on a sec.
You're fixing to do something bad.
And
you don't have to change the lighting. I like it being ominous.
I prefer to look like I'm being interrogated by a detective. I get the light right in my face.
Yeah, I see.
And then it feels like I need to give better audio. I need to speak more.
Good cop, bad good cop, bad cop routine. Which one would you be?
My dad always called me a good cock. So I'll go with that one, why not?
Well, that's interesting. Let's not go into that. Let's not go too deep into that. Sorry for the turn of phrase.
You got some news for us?
Well, horror news. I guess we should talk about It Chapter 2 has been released this week. And it's doing pretty well at the old box office. 185 million global opening. That's 91 million of that is in North America, so obviously it's doing well. Running time is obviously something that we've been talking about a lot. And, you know, is this the first and only horror film to be such a length? And obviously because it's a sequel, because it's essentially part of a franchise, that's the reason we've got it. But what does this mean for the future of horror? Luke Condon.
Is it 3 hours?
Oh, it's like 2 hours 50, something like that.
Okay. It's weird. I feel like films are just getting longer. And I don't think it's a good thing. Because especially on like streaming services, like they're all like 2.5 hours long. I always feel like they could do with like half an hour shaved. Midsummer was too long. Even though there's gonna be a director's cut, it's gonna be like an extra 50 minutes. I don't know what they missed out on. Like, I just feel like people are losing, there seems to be less strict editing going on. Do you know what I mean? It feels like someone needs to get a bit keener with the editing knife and
That happens, though, do we get utter shit? Because, you know, when people... I don't know.
Well, I just mean it kind of... they always seem a bit more focused. I feel like one of the things like with films a lot nowadays is I just feel a little bit like, come on. Like, there seems to be like a lacking of a pace.
Yeah. Well, I've seen it chapter two, and while I'm not going to go into spoilers, I think it could easily lose 30 minutes or so and not affect... the film. It does feel like it kind of spends a lot of time on certain things when it does kind of feel like, yeah, I know what you mean. Come on, then.
Yeah.
Come on. You know what I mean? And I don't mind a long film. Like, even shaving 30 minutes off of it makes it 2 hours 20, which is a long film.
I mean, what was it, Avengers Endgame? That was long, right? That was 3 hours.
Yeah. You know what? I guess there's a lot to squeeze in. A lot of characters, a lot of character arcs, a lot of stuff they need to sort out.
Yeah.
So I think I can kind of understand with that. With It Chapter 2, I mean, in terms of plot, it's kind of kind of the same, if not a bit like similar to chapter one plot, but just they're older.
Well, this is exactly what I thought was going to be the issue, because I'm a big fan of the book. The book is the both timelines sort of happening at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's about how it repeats itself and it sort of intertwines and coils and gets closer and closer. In the film, they split out all of the child stuff. And I was like, how could they do part two now? Because they've kind of separated out. It kind of ruins the corkscrew nature of the story. But yeah. I don't know, I've not seen it yet, so maybe I'll be surprised.
You've not seen it, so maybe we should stop our conversation there. But I mean, it's still good, yeah. It's enjoyable. There are some great performances from, you know, everybody. Everybody involved is good.
Yeah.
Richie, Bill Hader, is probably the standout, but that's just because he gets, you know, he gets some good lines of dialogue and, you know, all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's 100% worth a watch. Like, it chapter one is kind of feels a bit standalone in a way, like you could round it off there. And even though that's not the way the book ends, that could be it. That could be a finalized story. Obviously, because it did so well, it's silly not to bring out a chapter two when you've got the content, the rest of the book there, ripe for the picking.
Yeah,
and the screening I went to on opening night was it was completely full in the cinema. So
that's cool.
You know,
that's cool. Yeah,
exactly. So horror, even at this like huge blockbuster range, is just like, you know, it's never as good as it's ever been.
I've heard people complaining that it's too funny, but then I was thinking, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street gets funny. Like, it could just be Pennywise could be the new Freddy Krueger for some kids.
Yeah, I mean, there are laughs, but no more laughs than in chapter one, you know? I mean, the kids were funny.
Yeah.
They had the bants. So there we go. So, I mean,
all blockbuster films have to have proper bants nowadays. If it doesn't have bants, then people are complaining.
Yeah,
this is too grim dark. This is too DC. Go on.
But yeah, I think if you did enjoy chapter one, then definitely watch chapter two. Like, I would never.
I enjoyed chapter one.
I would 100% recommend it. Like, I wouldn't go.
Okay, good. Okay, I was hoping for people to be blown away by it, but you know, we can't have everything.
Yeah. One more piece of news is that there's a Resident Evil spin-off game called Project Resistance. We got a reveal and a trailer today.
Really? Today?
Yeah. So it's a team-based horror, survival horror. So it looks like in the same sort of vein as Resident Evil Outbreak, obviously, which was popular on PS2. So I think you can play it online.
Yeah.
And it's like a multiplayer game where, like, you know, five or six characters are in one area and you've got stuff to do. So it's not hugely story-based, but, you know, in this one, this just looks good. I mean, it looks for a few seconds. I was like, "That's just a bloody live action trailer," but it's not. It is CGI. It's computer generated. So it looks like it's going to be.
And you're a big old Resident Evil man.
Yeah, I'm a big old Resident Evil man. I've been playing Resident Evil 5 again, which obviously isn't the most popular in the franchise, but I remember. I've been playing through it and going, "Oh, I don't remember this bit. Oh, I don't remember this bit." So it's been fun.
The Blair Witch game looks good. It's annoyingly, it's only like PC and Xbox, which I don't play games.
Did you watch some of the gameplay?
So I watched the IGN review, and the guy was saying it's the most effectively scary game he's ever played. And I was like, that sounds like hyperbole.
Yeah.
Hyperbole.
Yeah. Hyperbole. Yeah. That's, I still struggle that word to this day. What's the right way of saying it?
Hyperbole.
Hyperbole.
It should be hyperbole, really. Hyperbole.
Yeah, I've heard it's a bit glitchy and a bit buggy, but maybe that'll be ironed out at some point. I don't know.
Yeah.
These things happen, don't they? That's it for stuff. That's it for news, sorry.
Well, I've got to tell you about on Saturday, we went to... have you been to an escape room? Do you do escape rooms much?
No, I've never been to one. I think I am going to one at some point before or after Halloween.
Okay, so they're surprisingly fun. Like, I was kind of not too keen on doing escape rooms, but then when you feel like, I'm not going to get involved, I'm just going to sort of help her. But as soon as you get there, you're like, right, we need this. What's this code mean? Me and my friends are quite into it now, me and Skip and a few other guys. We went to do a horror one, and it was maybe one of my favorite horror experiences in the last few years. It was terrifying. It's called The Butcher, and what it is, so they took us to this little basement room, and it was pitch black, and the guide kept like looking over his shoulder as if like something was moving behind him. Like, he was scared. And he drops you off in this room that looks like the room from the first Saw, but it's darker. And there's like a little toilet in the corner, like a sink. And he says, right.
You used it immediately, didn't you?
Straight away, yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Did he say you best go for a nervous wee beforehand? Because it's the only eight. They said they think it's the only 18 plus escape room they think of in England. There could be more, but no one else has sort of advertised it as such. And he said 50% of people don't complete it because they give up because it's too scary. They give you a safe word, and if you say it, you're allowed to leave the room. So you start doing the puzzles and stuff. You start looking for clues, and there's like bits of leather skin that's got like little codes on it and stuff. And the guy says, there's hiding places dotted around. If you hear the butcher, this serial killer, coming, or you see him, there's like a CCTV camera thing, monitor, it's just a long hallway. He says, if you see the butcher coming, you need to hide. And he doesn't tell you what happens if you don't hide, but he just says, there's a reason people have a safe word. He doesn't tell you anything. It's not like you're going to get raped or something. It sounds horrific. Oh. But there's one bit where... So we opened three rooms, and then we were doing quite well, but it's difficult because every noise, you're like, shit, everyone hide, and everyone's hiding. And then you realize you're just like four grown men hiding under a table. And he's like, oh, we need
to take off. From a man who ain't going to hurt you.
Yeah, exactly. There's one bit where my friend Fru is in one room, pressing a UV button light that puts on the UV lights in this other room where there's a corpse and there's like some codes and stuff on it. And so... and then I'm in this other room watching the CCTV monitor to see if the thing comes. Suddenly, like a giant cage door swings across, nearly cuts my arm off. Locks through in this one room, locks those two in the other room, and the lights just suddenly cut out. And then you just see the little guy on the monitor. It reminded me of The Ring, where you saw the girl sort of coming down towards the camera. It was extreme. Like, I was surprised by how scary it was.
Did you complete it then?
We got out with like a few minutes to spare, yeah. You sort of you find a door in the fridge, like a locked fridge thing. You go through it, and it's really fun. And I was surprised by just how scary it was. So if you ever get a chance, I definitely recommend it.
I don't know if I'd cope, to be honest. I think I would just end up running full pelt into a wall or something. That's the kind of thing I'd do. I think I'd get scared.
Well, there was like, it was surprising. There was like bits of there was nails like hanging out in bits and so. And I was like, this someone could get hurt.
But and safety.
All added to it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Other than that, I watched Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which we're going to do an episode on.
Yeah. I think we might try and do It Chapter 2, Strike While the Iron is Hot. Is that the saying? Strike with the iron is hot. It Chapter 2, and then Scary Stories after that, possibly.
And then also went to see the Scream Unseen thing in Odeon, where you go, you get to see a movie that's not out yet. The scariest thing of the night is, because quite a lot of people, and there's a countdown before it reveals what film you're going to watch. It's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's the scariest part, because you think, this could be shit. Please be something good. And it's Ready or Not. And it's... I think it might be one of my favourite horror movies of the year so far. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like the look of it. Again, we'll probably do an episode on that once it's officially released. If you can remember it by then, Luke.
Yeah, I can remember. I mean, it's not a particularly complicated affair.
It's good. Looks pretty cool. So did you punch the air when it was revealed as Ready or Not? Because I bet there was a lot of people there who didn't know what that was.
No, actually, I heard a lot of people just go, oh, thank fuck for that. There's a lot of people I think were kind of, but what else is it going to be? There's no other films on that. If it was Crawl, like, it's already out, so it's not going to be something.
Yeah,
like,
you can't do films that are already out. That'd be well annoying, wouldn't it?
I'm just worried it's going to be La Llorona or something like that. I mean, I think that's already out anyway, but.
Yeah, that's been out for a while, but there you go, it did all right. Was that it?
Yeah, saw a couple of bits, but.
Couple of bits and tits. I've been watching The Dark Crystal on Netflix, which is lovely. It's just pure magic. It's nostalgic, wonderful magic. Went to see the exhibition with all the loads of the puppets in London. That was cool.
Did you get your hand up?
What was that?
Did you get your hand up? A puppet?
Did I get my hand up puppet? No, I didn't let you do that. Naughty, innit? So I've been watching that, enjoying that. I watched a film yesterday, Lords of Chaos. If you've
seen or heard of this. The black metal one.
Norwegian black metal, which is like, it's based on the true story, but it's also, there's a lot of fiction in it. It's a bit sensationalist. It's pretty distasteful.
I don't know much about the film, but I know some black metal story. Is it the story about the guy who shot himself in the head and he used the picture as an album cover?
Correct. Yeah. It's about the band Mayhem. That's and
horrific.
So a guy killed himself. They used it as the cover. But then there's also the relationship between Rory Culkin, who plays like the guitarist of the band, and then like they're a new guy, like a bassist who's he's like a church burning.
Yeah.
Maniac, I guess, but it's kind of funny, but in a like, oh, ha ha ha, weird sort of way. And it's
a little bit weird about real life stuff like that. I don't know, but I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but I don't think that's quite the same thing.
Well, I guess it says based on truth, based on lies, and based on, you know, how what may have happened. So. Yeah. You know, but I thought it was really good. Like it looked great. I mean, it's directed by a Swedish director who I think was a drummer in like a black metal band, cool. Jonas Åkerlund. And it's a really good looking film. Like some of the cinematography is great. And it's he directed Polar, you know, with Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hitman film, which I didn't like, but you know, I wouldn't say this was the same director. It seems like this really is his niche.
Yeah.
The visuals are great. You know, churches burning, ravens, upside down crosses, corpse paint, all that stuff. And I wouldn't consider myself a fan of Norwegian black metal. And I think if you're not a fan, you're not going to be a fan afterwards. If you are a fan, like you'd probably be a bit annoyed by how everyone's portrayed in it, because everyone sort of comes across as, you know, insane pretty much. And, you know,
maybe they were insane. I don't know.
maybe these guys were insane, but like everyone was insane. Everyone was indulging in a bit of something, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely recommend it. It's I think it's up there with some of my favorites of this year, just because I got really drawn in by it. You know, I was a bit like, oh, this is so strange.
I wonder why you were wearing corpse paint today.
Sorry, mate. He's not in brackets. He's not.
Anything else you want to?
That's it, really. Okay, that's cool. It, really. That's all I've.
Cool. Well, so let's talk about today's film then. Crawl. Have you got any information about it?
Yep. So Crawl, 2019 American disaster horror film directed by Alexandra Aja, written by Michael and Sean Rasmussen, who liked my tweet when I said I was going to watch it. Bloody writers, they share a Twitter account, these guys. They're like, when husband and wife share a Facebook account. So it stars Kea Scodelario from Skins, you know, and Barry Pepper as a daughter and father who, along with our dog, are hunted by alligators after becoming trapped in their home during a Category 5 hurricane.
Hmm. Okay, so critic consensus has been fairly nice, actually. An action-packed creature feature that's fast, terrifying, and benefits greatly from a completely game Kea Scodelario. Crawl is a fun throwback with just enough self-awareness to work. 82% on Rotten Tomatoes, but there's 75% on the audience score. So the audience weren't quite as keen. 6.6 out of 10 on IMDb. That's an audience-rated score as well. So they just weren't as into it as the critics were. And it doesn't feel like it's going to be a critics movie.
No, I suppose you're right. But I guess it's one of those films that kind of just it ticks the boxes it needs to for a creature feature. It doesn't outstay its welcome, you know. I mean, it's 87 minutes,
and it definitely, like, everything that could be done with this concept, it does. Like, it rinses it completely. I was kind of amazed by how far they went with, like, when the shit hits the fan and there's all the flooding and stuff. They really just go all out with it. I mean, I was quite excited about this because Alex Aja. I thought it was going to be more Hills of Eyes and less Piranha 3D, though. I was kind of hoping for it to be more visceral horror than goofy, campy.
I mean, there's nothing against this film, because I did quite enjoy it, but it was quite by the numbers for a creature feature, you know. It didn't feel... I mean, it's quite claustrophobic. I guess it's mainly set around one setting, which is just a house. But yeah, I this is one of those things, wasn't it? Like, I just kept thinking, do alligators behave like this?
Well, okay. So I was like, there's a scene missing in this is when the toxic waste goes into the alligator swamp. Because they're not like normal alligators. There's something unnatural about them. And it needed a scene or something to go, they aren't just normal alligators. They've been eating smart drugs or something.
Yeah, because they don't kill and eat. They seem to just kill. And that's it. But, I mean, definitely affected this film because, like, I think I had about 3 dreams about alligators afterwards. And then...
Could you not go to the toilet anymore?
No. I couldn't exactly. It was snapping. Something snapping down there. I went in a lake. I went in a lake, like, a week later.
And honestly,
that was all I could think about. Because we'd been, like, fishing in this lake and catching, like...
It looked awesome, by the way. Those fish. You're doing, like, some survival thing, right?
Yeah, so I did like a little survival weekend with like a guy who was basically Bear Grylls teaching you how to like make fire and shelters and stuff. But yeah, that was all I could think about. I was like, there's a crocodile in this lake and an alligator, and it's going to come and snap my bloody legs off.
Alligator is going to be offended.
This is cruel too. What did you call me? I'll snap your bloody head off, mate.
No. Yeah, I mean, it's, I've got to say, Kaya, I always think it's cool when the Skins actors and young British actors are out there, especially because Tony, what's his name? The guy from Skins who is Beast and he was in Mad Max.
Nicholas Holt.
He's done amazing. And Dev Patel is in Slumdog Millionaire. Yeah. He's done amazing. The guy who's in Get Out is in Posh Kenneth. He's done amazing. All these people are doing amazing. I kind of feel like, what happened to these other... There's a couple more who haven't disappeared.
Make some effort.
A lot of them are in Game of Thrones. But
get yourself in a bloody Hollywood film.
But especially Kaya, because she was quite a big part of Skins. And I think everyone kind of thought she'd do bigger stuff. She was in Moon, and she was in The Maze Runner as well.
Okay.
But in fact, it's weird. I think we talked about Skins last week as well.
She's also in the Ted Bundy movie with Zac Efron. Extremely wicked, shockingly evil, and vile.
So she's got a great American accent. I think I found a plot hole in the film, but I think it's like a hole in her lungs because
Did water rush right through it? That bloody plot hole. She couldn't shout. It's like,
no. So whenever she's like shouting, "Dad," it was like, "Dad." It was like they couldn't. It's like they had to film it next to some neighbors, and they were like, "Yeah." I was like, "Why isn't she shouting proper?" Like, she just hasn't got the lung capacity. I'm like, she can't swim underwater. She can't hold her breath.
You know what it is, don't you? She smokes 40 a day.
Sounds like it. I don't know. I talked to the guy who went to Simmer to sit, and he was like, yeah, why couldn't she shout? Like, she's just whisper shouting.
Help!
It was weird. it was all right. It's good fun. I liked it.
Yeah. So we've got Kaya Scolodario as Hayley Keller, who's like a student, athlete, swimmer, kind of guy, girl.
She's a girl.
Her family are like, they live in Florida. Her family live in Florida. She's like moved away, but her family have like split up. So her dad, Barry Pepper, who plays Dave Keller.
Barry Pepper's a great name.
Hey, I'm Barry Pepper. he's like a sort of handyman, DIY, home contractor dude. And he's basically gone to their family home, which obviously nobody lives in anymore because the parents are split up. One of the daughters is like estranged from the family, but she phones and worries and stuff. Is that right? There's a sister.
She's a phoning worrier of the family.
She's a phone voice. You got a major part in this film, just your voice.
I think I face it for a bit, but it's all Skypey. We'll have your face. As part of your contract, we'll have your face, but we'll pixelate the fuck out of it.
And that's pretty much all you need to know, because everybody else is a fodder for the alligator.
There's the boyfriend character, who is also fodder. But he...
Like a police officer slash...
Yeah.
Is the sister's ex-boyfriend.
So
there's a Category 5 hurricane on a collision course with Florida. Get the hell out of the state. But Beth phones Haley after she's done a bit of swimming.
I think she failed as well. She's like lost confidence in her swimming or something.
To be fair, she lost.
My lungs are so tiny.
She was like 1/10 of a second behind someone.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, bloody hell, I'm
crap at this. Yeah. So she failed. So her sister's like, check on dad. He's not answering or something, right?
This is classic, like, dad as well. Just like he's shit with his phone. Just like leaves it. Just like somewhere. Just where it's got like 12 missed calls, 48 texts.
See, my dad's the opposite. He checks in on Facebook to everywhere he goes. Like, it doesn't matter. It could be just like nipping to the shop. He just has to check in. Got to check in. Why do we need to know exactly where everyone is?
I like it.
In case there's alligators in stage
five. Yeah, just so you know where he is at all times.
Yeah.
Right, we need to get to him. There he is. He's at the corner shop. Right, we need to get to him. He's at the museum. I don't know why.
Okay, so Kaya, what's her name? Helen? Helen Keller? No, that's Hayley Keller.
Hayley. Hayley. Hayley Keller.
Helen Keller. So Hayley Keller drives towards his old house.
It's their old house, isn't it? It's where it's the family home, but obviously because they've split up, it's now a source of pain and suffering. But Barry Pepper's there doing up the house because he wants to sell it.
Yeah,
and he wants to get a good price. You know, he ain't mucking about. Okay.
So, but on the way, the storm's really kicking in now. The police are sort of saying, "Don't go down this road. That's the wet road. This is the dry road. Take the dry road." And then Kaya and the guy who's the policeman is doing it is like, I'm your sister's ex-boyfriend. Hi.
So I better introduce myself.
Yeah. And then this is how they work in the film. And then he says, go this way. And then she goes that way. And then she goes against the grain because she's a badass.
I do. I try and do that and I'd stall. What are you doing?
Yeah.
All right, mate.
And then She gets to the house, and then the dad's not there, but the dog is.
Yeah, so first of all, she goes to like the condo, which is like his little flat, to see where he is, and the dog's there. The dog's called Sugar. How do you feel about that for a name for a dog?
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, it's a bit
Sug.
I don't know. It's all right. Come here, Sugar.
Yeah, I can get along with it. You sound a bit like a pervert, don't you? Yeah. If you're shouting that in
Sugar. If you were shouting sugar, if you shouted for her, you'd sound like you'd kind of like banged your knee or something, but you weren't the kind to swear. Sugar.
Or you're diabetic.
Diabetic, you have your epipen. Sugar.
Sugar, please. Here, have a
Jesus
full fat
Christ.
Down your neck.
Sugar.
It's weird when people like don't swear and they say something like that. Yeah. Oh, fiddlesticks.
I think I was a sugar guy. I mean, I used to say sugar when I couldn't swear.
I bet you were, mate. I bet you were.
I used to say things were mint when they were good. Do you say mint? Ah, it's mint, mate.
That's bloody mint. That's peppermint. Just mint, yeah. I think that was an English thing, wasn't it? That was a British thing. That was, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think that went beyond the realms of the that's bloody
sound.
Mint.
So when you're in Manchester, people still say sound. Ah, that's sound, that is. Sound.
Yeah. Sound out, kid.
Yeah. Okay, so he speaks to the dog. The dog's kind of there mainly for us to be worried about the dog. Especially in
we're worried that the dog's going to get, like, just eaten whole. The dog is almost like, oh, bloody hell, just go home. Just get out of there. Jesus. He's just
like,
there and he makes
if we feel like, as filmmakers, if we feel like something isn't tense at any point, we just put the dog in danger for a little bit.
I rewatched I Am Legend recently, and you know, that is one of the things that if you speak to anybody about I Am Legend, that is one of the things they take away from it. Dog dies.
Yeah.
Like, people can't get over that shit.
It's
like,
such a palpable part of any film if the dog dies.
People just can't remember anything about that film. They go, what was that film about? Oh, Will Smith. Like, oh, what was he? In a house in New York, chilling out. Dog dies.
Yes, they killed the dog. I mean, that's an important part. So in the book, I think it's more horrific in the book. Because in the book, he lives alone. Have you read it, by the way? I don't know if you...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, in the book, there's a whole thing where instead of he lives with the dog, has to kill it because it goes mental. He lives alone.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love.
Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
He desperately wants to have company, and over like a period of a week or something, he manages to become friends with his dog, and he manages it doesn't like run away from him eventually, and then it dies like a day later. It doesn't say why it dies. It just gets ill and dies. Yeah, like it spends like a whole couple of chapters making friends with his dog.
See, I remember that, but I don't remember it dying. I remember it just like
like one word at the end of the chapter. It's like he spends ages building up a trust with his dog, and he goes, and then it died. It's horrific.
And then it died.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so this dog's Sugar's here as a dog, yeah. You know, for us to worry about constantly. So then she goes to the house in Coral Lake, which is basically bang in the middle of like the hurricane.
Is it a cul-de-sac?
Is it?
Well, then it looks like a cul-de-sac, but then it's got a swamp next to it.
Oh, yeah. So it got a swamp next to it. So you're like, this is the worst place to be during a Category 5 hurricane. The rain's really coming down now. Mm-hmm. Wind's whipping up.
Alligators.
Crazy shit. Things yeah. are flying around. So they go through the flooded streets and they find Dave's truck at the house. So obviously he's there. And this is like the long, like how long does it take her to find him? Like he's literally in the deepest recesses of the house. Just like,
what was he
KO'd.
Doing in there again? Or did he have to go deeper in? Because
I think he was, so because of the flooding, he didn't want the house to get like permanently damaged. So he went right down into the basement, right down into this crawl space, and was trying to block some of the, like what would have been some of the leakages, maybe some.
What are the vents for, if not for?
Maybe some vents, yeah.
Well, there's like vents in the basement.
Yeah.
For they look like they're for water. I don't know what they're, and there's like a sluice thing that, like, from the lake. Is that?
Yeah.
What's that for? Yeah, why do you need that maybe. Going in your house?
I don't know. To be fair, like this underground bit is all pretty horrible. Like it's got all these pipes everywhere that like. All different levels, and sometimes you smash your head on it. So other times you'd be all right, and it just seems really horrible to navigate. You've got to like crawl through the muck and mud.
Oh yeah,
to get there. So he's basically fixing something, and she goes down, finds him, but he's unconscious and he's been wounded. Like his leg has been torn up by. Yeah. He's already been attacked by an alligator, but he managed to crawl into an area where the piping was in such a way that the alligator couldn't get through.
The pipes just a little bit too low for this alligator's head.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. It feels like a safe zone. I'm a base.
I'm a base. You can't touch me.
But, you know, it's all part of the plot. So she finds him, and then I think she says, like, I'm going to get some help. But then as she goes, she gets attacked by the first alligator, maybe?
Yeah, I think initially there's one, and I think. Even in this film, I was kind of made to think that there was just one.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's established pretty early on that there are more than one. Are there maybe three in total?
In the basement, I think it starts off with two. A big one and a little one.
Yeah.
But then it just keeps appearing.
Yeah, so obviously there's a difficult... Like this, obviously, this first act of the film kind of like is stuck underground in this crawl space. The water's slowly rising. And they're basically trying to work out different ways that they can get out. And there's one way when they sort of bang the pipes to try and sort of get the alligator's attention while Haley goes for the phone. They get pretty much stuck. They pretty much get stuck down there like for quite a while.
Yeah, and alligator right by the stairs, aren't they, I think? They know.
Yeah. This initial part of the film, I felt like it was kind of like I didn't know where it was going to go.
Mm.
It's like I knew they'd get out, but like I was a bit like, come on then, get out. Do you know what I mean? I was, But I think what it was doing, it was waiting for the crawl space to flood, wasn't it? It was trying to make us feel like that the geese characters were against the threat of the water rising on the clock.
So there's a bit in the film where the dad distracts the alligators, and then she. By the way, they don't get along. The whole thing is they don't really get along anymore for some reason or other. So the dad distracts the alligators with a shovel and a pipe, and she gets the phone, mobile phone, and then she makes a really stupid decision of starts the phone for the police or an ambulance. She's not back at base yet. She's right by the alligators.
Yeah.
Because she thinks there's just one. But even so, you would still get back to safety and then make your phone calls. Facebook and Twitter and that.
Then make your phone calls. sign yourself in to cool space under the house.
Check in, yeah.
Check into that.
But then she did. She starts phoning, and then she gets attacked by a second alligator that was hiding. It shouts, Ooga Booga, jumps on her. And then, is this where she gets ravaged by her teeth? This is horrific. This is the most horrific part of the film, I thought.
By the teeth. I think she gets ravaged at this point, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to remember exactly how everything happens. There's another bit where she tries to get out of the secondary exit, but then there's like a box on top of it. It's like a hatch.
Yeah.
So she pretty much manages to get there, and she can't get out because of the box on the hatch. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Bet that was David put it there, wasn't it?
But then the dog's there, like licking her fingers. Hello.
Hello. All right. I was like, but help me then, sugar, for God's sake.
Just goes to get the ball.
So then obviously there are a few different ways of getting out have been sort of gazumped. What happened with the police? Did they just say?
So they start to. Well, I think before the police, there's the people robbing the thing across the road.
So we've got some looters sort of in a gas station. Again, you said it's a cul-de-sac, but there's literally a gas station across the road. Which is a bit weird.
So I heard that there's no such thing as basements in these kind of houses in Florida. It's not something they have. And that kind of makes sense because I don't understand why they'd have like a pipe going into the lake. And also, why would you have a gas station and like a little cul-de-sac thing? So I kind of feel like the geography of this is just whatever suits the story at the time.
Yeah, and I don't think I don't think it affects things too much. Like, it's odd, but I guess you kind of think, especially with the storm. I feel like when the storm's happening, you're kind of a bit like, whoa, where are we, man?
There's
rain everywhere. There's a river in the middle of the street.
Exactly, yeah. So there's three kids looting they've got this little boat and they're looting the shop. They're getting the cash machine and
they're literally getting a whole cash machine into the boat.
And then this is when it's like the alligators suddenly become very smart because they start to pick off these looters quite quickly. I think it's proper noshing off one of them. It looks pretty brutal. They eat him, and then Kaya Scodelaria is looking at it, and she sees her chances of safety of rescue going. And I think the cops maybe turn up a little bit after that.
Yeah. So the cops kind of do they turn up after her phone call? They didn't turn up on a whim, did they? They turn up.
I don't know because I think it was a whim. I don't know if she managed to get through to anyone.
Yeah, so it seemed like the police were kind of just looking for anyone who might still be there, and it happens to be her sister's ex-boyfriend who she saw on the road is one of them. So they come in investigating a house for survivors, but I think almost immediately they're banging on the pipes, aren't they? Bang, 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 bang. We're down here, bang, 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 bang. So the police are like, whoa, what's going on? And obviously there's a hatch which leads to the initial staircase. And here we get like a jump scare, which was unfortunately in one of the trailers.
Yeah. Kind of ruined it. I mean, that we kind of all knew what was happening. I mean, that would have been good to see fresh in the film. So all these alligators, there's more and more alligators period now, by the way. They're starting to act more like piranhas in the sense that they just seem to sort of school around people, sneak up in the water, school around. And then there's like the other policeman, an alligator grabs his leg, another grabs his head, his arm, and they all twist at the same time and like rip him apart as if it's like that was the plan. Like, it's weird. They're acting sort of
imagine one of them just didn't know what was going on.
Yeah,
What are we doing again? We all twist now. Oh, I've already twisted. Sorry. Pulled his head off.
Dave. Yeah, the alligator is weird because the alligators, we missed the scene here where they drank the smart juice or something because they're not like normal alligators. So at some point they get out of the. So what's her name? Swims through to the nest. She finds a nest under the basement.
Yeah, yeah. So she basically, there's like a storm drain bit and she swims through. I think around about this point, Dave manages to kill one of the alligators by shoveling its head.
Yeah.
He gets like trapped trying to get him and he just shovels the shit out of his head. The whole time during this film, I just think Dave's dead. There's no way he's gonna get out of this at all. Like he's dead. He's ravaged. He's drowning. He's dead. But he keeps surprising us.
Yeah, yeah.
There's quite a good scene here where Haley swims through like a tunnel.
Yeah.
A pipe, and the green is really light, sort of quite. Is when she swims out and she looks up and you see the sort of alligator swimming along. See her little legs.
Yeah.
Which looks pretty cool. I thought that was good. But yeah, she manages to kill one of the alligators in the nest as well with a gun. She gets like there's like a body of one of the police officers.
Yeah.
And she shoots. Well, the alligator bites down on her arm and she managed to shoot the gun the arm's in there.
Yeah.
You've
seen that video of that alligator that rips the other alligator's leg off.
I think
I don't think it realizes that it's another alligator, but it's sort of, it's one of its brother's arms or whatever, it goes in its mouth and it bites down and like rolls and just tears its arm off. Yeah. It's like easy, just tears it off.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah.
They roll, don't they? That's scary. I'm scared of that, Luke. Don't want that to happen to me.
Yeah.
Watch out when you're in the bath. So she kills not in the bath again, mate. So she kills that one and then she does make it upstairs and she managed to crowbar the living room floor open.
Yeah.
To get Dave in. Because he's got like, what, an inch of air?
Yeah, that's what he's doing. Yeah, good impression. He's, So he's drowning.
I find those scenes really effective. Like, I know they get overdone now, but when someone's like running out of breath, I think we first saw it in like The Abyss, where it's like, that's scary. Like the water just.
Yeah.
Because when did you take the breath? Because I think I'd take it too early. I'd take it, but then there'd still be like 30 seconds worth of air right there, and I'm drowning under it.
And you don't want to, like,
do it too late
because you get water in your mouth and
you just go.
But he does drown there, doesn't he? He drowns and then she pulls him out, and then
she pulls him out like with unbelievable strength as well.
Yeah,
and she just pulls his cold dead body out of the water.
That must be solid, like. Because he's all wet and like his clothes are wet, so it must be really hard. But
can't really lift myself out of bed, mate.
But she's a swimmer, so you know swimmers are strong. And then she performs, what's it called, to the, you know, is it, you do it to the rhythm of staying alive. That's how CPR. You know how. What's that?
CPR.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He wakes up. They're all right. And then they're like, right, we got to get out of here. And they get the looter's boat. And the hurricanes are getting gradually worse. The water's getting even higher. Floodwaters are breaking up the levees.
There's a bit where they're like, Kaya, you need to swim across this river bit to get to the boat. You need to swim faster than a load of alligators.
And then we get loads of flashbacks to when he was her swimming coach and he was on the side, like blowing his whistle and going, fucking swim faster, you bastard.
Yeah.
And we get flashbacks to that, but this time he's just dead. Swim faster.
Yeah,
and she does it because obviously, alligators are dead slow. Well, apparently.
So they get in this boat, and they're all there: the dog, dad, and daughter. Dog, dad, and daughter, and they're all like they're getting away. And I'm like, oh, okay, the film's ending now. But then the levee breaks, and it blows the boat back into the house.
Yeah, basically, it's like a bit in Jurassic Park, you know, when they get out of the car, go down the tree. But then the car falls and lands on them again. And then Timmy says, we're back in the car again.
Yeah.
So it's almost like that, but with a boat in a house. We're back in the house again.
But the water's rising now. It's like it's going up the stairs. It's going into the... There's a good bit actually where Kaya is in the bathroom. And she's in the shower, I think. And she's sort of blocking out the water, and then she sort of opens it for the alligator to come inside. She locks it in and just sort of
flaps over the top. Yeah, so yeah. That's good. So yeah, so they get separated in the house, Dave and Haley. She ends up in the bathroom. There's a bit where she's in the kitchen as well, sort of like climbing over stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what Dave's doing at this point, just chilling somewhere.
He gets his arm ripped off, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does get his arm ripped off, doesn't he? At the bottom of the stairs, he's just like, I'm off up to bed now. See you later, guys. And then alligators just rip his bloody arm off.
No, you ain't.
At this point, I was like, yeah. Right, Dave is definitely dead.
Yeah.
He's dead. There's no way he's surviving this.
There's a bit just before that as well where the dog is swimming through the water and you look under the water and you see its little legs kicking.
You're like, he's dead too.
Yeah, I mean, if this film did anything good, it was like making you think things were about to die. They didn't.
That's definitely going to die.
But
no?
The thing is, everything else got killed super easy. Like the people in the water outside, like even the shark, I mean, the alligators were like on game. Everyone else, they're really struggling to.
They're very shark-like, these alligators, aren't they? I mean, yeah. I know sharks aren't, even sharks aren't as brutal as that, but you know, in terms of what we've seen in film so far, these alligators are very shark-like.
Yeah. So they make their way upstairs with one arm less. And then what happened there? So they get on the roof. Oh no, so the dad and dog go into the attic to get on the roof or something, and then she gets bitten on the arm and the alligator drags her down.
Yeah, he's like death rolling her, but she manages to,
because she's like, super swimmer, she can keep her arm on.
Yeah, yeah.
To practice that in swimming.
So she's got like a flare as well, and she manages to like roll. It looks like she's kind of like rolling with it.
Yeah.
And manages to like stab the flare in the alligator's eye, and then she swims to the roof and on top of a house. And then another alligator like comes out of nowhere, almost gets her as well. So it's all, you know, it's all pretty intense towards the end.
But let's say when I say like the film seems to go everywhere you can with this concept, where else could you? Because the entire, it looks like Florida is flooded. Like it looks like they're on the roof and there's nothing but water. There's dead things. Everyone's dead. Someone's lost an arm. They've been throughout the house. They've been in a shop. There's had schools of alligators. She's shot a couple, been in an alligator nest, through a little tube. They've done everything that you could do with this concept.
In a little tube. Have they been in a little tube yet? Yeah, they have. Oh.
Like,
yeah, you could. The only other thing they could do is if they went to another house or down the street or on top of the garage.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
Could go into a car, drive away. But
yeah. I mean, as a thing, it all descends from, you know, in a pretty shit situation to an unbelievably dire situation pretty quickly. And there are moments during almost at every turn where you think one of. But all of the main characters are going to die.
Yeah.
So it keeps you on the edge of your seat in that way. Crocnado, which is basically what this film is. Crocnado, even though it's alligators, I know.
So by at the end of the film, the relationship is fixed between dad and daughter. They've kind of realised that
He's got one arm and he's like, life's too short.
Yeah.
My arm's too short.
Yeah. You can't do that thing anymore where you do that and then you go over the top with one arm and you make them longer and longer. Do you ever do that?
No, until you end
reach the wall, fire wall. Tickle.
Do you end up like Mr. Tickle?
Yeah. Okay, so I've got some trivia for you.
Oh, very nice.
It's quite difficult because there's not too much about this film just yet. But, you know, number one, given how big the movie is, can you guess the budget? We've got A, 6.7 million.
It's right in front of me. I'm just getting rid of it.
Okay. A, 6.7 million. B, 13.5 million. Or C, 21 million.
I'm just going to go bang in the middle with that. 13.75.
Yeah, that's correct. The box office for the film was 74.6 million. So it made plenty of money back.
See, again, yeah, exactly. It's just one of those where, you know, if you can make a film like that with an established director... An established director who's good at making, you know,
Sam Raimi, isn't it? So when we went to watch this film, everyone was in my little group was like saying, "Oh, it's a new Sam Raimi film," and I was like, "Is it?"
Yeah.
I mean, I know he produced it, but
there's no name on it.
More Alex Arjo to me.
Number
two, Kaya Scodelario started her career as Effie from Skins. How many of the original Skins gang can you name? And there's one,
none.
Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. You can't name any of them.
Well, can I've got to name the actors or the...
Well, I meant the characters, but if you could do the actors. Oh,
no, never bothered, sorry. Yeah, and it was filmed in Bristol, but
oh,
I never
of
bothered.
Course. Yeah, yeah.
Mitch?
Yeah?
Is that true?
Yeah, yeah.
Spilakey?
yeah.
Ranald?
Yep.
Ranald and...
have you seen, you've never seen it?
And Fob.
Yeah, you've got all seven of them. Well done.
Yeah, I mean, I saw again. I saw like bits and bobs because people would go, "Oh, look at this bit. It's like College Green in Bristol." And you'd go, "Yeah, yeah, right." And then there was another scene which was filmed in like a cafe that my dad used to go to. So I saw those bits. But I don't know. I used to work with someone who was like assist that she her brother was like one of them. I think is there like a gay guy, a gay kid who's like Bill Bailey's dad.
Ranald.
Bill Bailey's the dad. Ranald. It was her brother.
Splaky.
It was her brother. Yeah. And because of that, I was a bit like, I ain't gonna bother watching that.
Okay.
Why?
Because
she's a bit of a dick. Childish.
Well, so there's Maxi is that one. Anwar, who's Dev Patel, Zhao, don't know who, Michelle, don't know. Cassie is Gilly from Game of Thrones, if you watch Game of Thrones. Chris Robert Baratheon from Game of Thrones.
Is he the one with the at on?
No, that's Sid. I don't know who Sid is.
There's an at on one, and then there's Nicholas Holt.
Nicholas Holt,
Nicholas Holt, who has not got at on.
Also, Nicholas Holt, his hair kind of looks like a hat a lot of times. But Nicholas Holt is in About a Boy. Have you ever watched that?
Yeah.
He's a weird kid. He's a strange kid.
And who knew he would have grown up to be
a strange man.
Strange man, strange looking man.
He was going to play Batman. Did you see that? I'm glad. I think Robert Pattinson.
I've literally
way
heard
for
him
role.
Linked to Batman and Bond, and I just think, please God, no.
He's not the kind of guy we need right now. But I like him. I think he's a great actor. I just don't think he's that kind of role. But
no, he's not Batman. He's not Bond. Sorry.
I think Robert Pattinson is pretty good actually to have. I think so. Well, I'm not a big. I just think from like Good Time and stuff like that, he's.
Good Time, and then obviously the Lighthouse trailers, which look bloody ominous and terrifying.
He doesn't sound anything like you think he'll sound when you see him out of when he's not acting as the sort of broody.
Yeah, does he sound like?
He just sounds like I'm gonna say middle class. Yeah, he sounds like Crispin the Bell's Batman voice.
Is he English?
Yeah, super English, and sort of like. Hugh Grant sort of level of like bumbling over himself, self-conscious. Yeah, it's weird, yeah.
Who knows? We're going to be Batman, apparently.
Okay, number three. Can you name the burglars?
What? What burglars? Harry and Marv.
the wet bandits. The really wet bandits.
Yeah.
No, the burglars from the shop.
Can you?
Yeah.
Also, right, bearing in mind, we're a little bit behind on this. Like, I didn't watch this film. Like, this was the first film I watched, like, of all the ones we're going to do recently. 25th of August, I watched this. Jesus.
Yeah, I think I watched it like 3 weeks ago, yeah.
Ron, is there Ranald?
Spilakey.
Spilakey and Simeon.
Simeon. Correct. I don't know how you're doing this. No, okay, so... There's Marv, Stan, and Lee.
Is there actually a Marv? So Marv or Stan Lee? Is there actually a Marv? I said Harry and Marv at the start, and one of them's Marv. Basically, I win the trivia.
You did, but it's Marv, Stan Lee as a sort of homage to Marvel's Stan Lee.
So who was there was a female, so was she Lee?
Marv, I don't know. It just says Marv, Stan, and Lee. I don't know who you actually are.
Hang on a minute. On this year's I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, one of Marv, Stan, Lee. Yeah. What, from the film Crawl? Yeah, yeah. Which one were you? I don't know. I was never told, but I'm one of Marv, Stan, or Lee.
Okay, so number four. What is the average lifespan? This is an easy one. Easy peasy. What is the average lifespan of a crocodile? Alligator,
I mean. Oh, gosh. They're like prehistoric, aren't they?
Yeah, but they haven't lived since then.
That's not what I meant. 30 years.
That's good. 30 to 50 years. Well done. Oh. But this is going to go against what we just said. The last question, is it true that alligators can live forever?
Well, it depends. If they find like some toxic waste to that they've slurped up and now they're just going on.
No.
I reckon some of them can. I reckon there's a bloody alligator somewhere who's been around since the start.
Yeah. So here's the really kind of mind-blowing thing about alligators. Alligators can't die of natural aging.
Ah.
They just don't age in that way. But nature has a way of killing them. The way they die is out of starvation or if they contract a disease, which they all will do at some point in their life. They keep growing throughout their lifespan and they require more and more food, so they'll die of starvation eventually.
Ah.
But they just don't aging. They just don't age.
What if one of them gets locked in a bloody food factory?
Fridge. Yeah, like if there was like a constant supply of food and space, then it would just. I guess unless it gets the disease, which probably would.
Alligators in space. That's what I want to see.
I mean, I don't know if that includes cancer, because I mean, I'm sure it does. I'm sure they get some sort of cancer, but they just don't age. They don't have to get. They go bald. They don't have to get grey hair.
What's the oldest alligator ever?
I think 80, I think I saw.
Yeah, the Muja.
Yeah.
Riga Zoo in Latvia. Well, obviously, in prehistoric times, but they're older ones. 75 years old.
Yeah.
Oh.
Pretty, and there's pretty also
there's also a list of the 8 oldest alligators in the world.
There's Muja
there
one.
There you go. Muja's one of them. Yeah, Muja's
the...
One of them's called Big Daddy. One of them's called Cassius. One of them's called...
Marv.
Henry.
Henry
and one's
Henry.
Called... And one's called, hang on a minute, Mr. Freshy. Mr. Freshy apparently lived to 140.
He was not Freshy by the end of it.
No, he wasn't. He was absolutely stinking.
Stinking. Okay, we need to rate the film. I don't know what you're going to go for. I think I've got an idea.
I think we flashed through this pretty quickly. I think then that kind of tells you what you need to know about this film, which is it does exactly what you expect it to do. It's satisfying. It's filling. And again, it doesn't outstay its welcome. It's nice and snappy. See what I did there?
Yeah, like it, yeah.
Snappy, to the point. I'll probably give it a B minus.
Okay.
Is that what you were expecting?
No. I'm just trying to think of a... Alligator pun, but it's not quite coming to me. Okay. Alligator it C plus.
Alligator it.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Don't worry about it. Yeah. But I was going to give it a C plus. It's perfectly fine. It's a fun evening, fun popcorn day.
A fun popcorn day. Popcorn day at the similar. yeah, it's a popcorn film, you know. I mean, you know, far different experiences if you go and watch this as if you're going to watch a 2-hour and 50-minute long It Chapter 2.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no crocodiles in that.
Is it not?
Alligator.
Okay. All right, man. So there you go. Next week we'll do It Chapter 2. I don't think it will take as long as the film, 3 hours, but we'll see. So this show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovac Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Go and buy a t-shirt from hawkandcleaver.com. Thanks to the listeners. And thanks to the Facebook group people. And thanks to my co-host Ben for being around.
Thanks very much, Luke. As always, thank you.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.